The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy.
Yeah. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and happy Friday. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
We talked about Lucretia of Winchester this week.
We did do.
Whose name I kept morphing into Lucretia as I was typing my outline, which I'm willing to bet those have the same origin. Lucretia basically means sweet.
Yes. I will confess to you that I have always pronounced it with a harder emphasis on the O. So it's like Lucretia. Like
that's
the
probably
sweets.
Fine. I mean, I don't know how specifically she would have pronounced it. It is spelled innumerable ways.
Right.
In the record. Also, don't totally know like how her kids' names would have been pronounced. We went with a Cher for her son, whose name is in most accounts either spelled A-S-H-E-R or A-S-S-E-R. Because I think that is how most people who are using that name as a Hebrew name pronounce it. And it's also the more French way to pronounce it. And so since most, as we understand it, most Jewish people in medieval England were kind of using Norman French versions of their names, that seemed like the best way to go. But there are so many different spellings, so many nicknames that don't immediately make sense, but are based on like how things were pronounced 1,000 years ago.
Right.
So many people asked us to do this. And honestly, I was embarrassed when I did another check of it recently because I was like, there was a ton of stuff that was there before a year ago. February of last year when people were asking for it. And it just like that just it was buried by many, many news articles about the statue that all had the same 3 or 4 points.
It's such a heart-wrenching story because, you know, now that we know a bit more, it's not something I knew a lot about, but like the idea of just like all of these people belong to the king.
Yeah.
Really is like upsetting to me on a visceral level.
Yeah. So it's been, I think, a while since we've really talked about medieval history on the show, but medieval history and specifically medieval women, like, that's always just been a favorite topic of mine and something that I have returned to on the show periodically. But overwhelmingly, the medieval women that I have learned about and have been taught about and have had college courses about, like, they have all been Christian. Many of them specifically Christian mystics and anchoresses and like people who were inside in some like world of religious devotion, specifically Christian religious devotion. And so I did not have a sense of the whole, like, that arc of Jewish history in medieval England, and how much of it she lived through. And so when I started working on this episode, I did not have a sense of how much, like, horrible violence and anti-Semitism and blood libel, like, I did not have a sense of how much all of that was going to be part of the episode
right.
when I started working on it. I also, one of the reasons that we didn't do this episode back in 22, in addition to the fact that I was like, I don't know if there's enough information about that, is I had reservations about talking about somebody who is in a profession that does have all of these prejudicial stereotypes associated with it. And it took me a super long time to figure out, like, best ways to talk about that and how to make it super, super clear that, like, yeah, there are these stereotypes of the, quote, moneylender, and those are not stereotypes that we also apply to somebody that we might would describe as a banker.
Right.
Or a pawnbroker or any of these other comparable jobs that people were also doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those moments where I marvel at the horrific consistency of history, right? That, like, these are things that we are talking about that happened hundreds of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And those stereotypes are still causing problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we have, as much as we all like to pat ourselves on the back for how far mankind has come.
Right.
Not
right.
really.
Yeah. And one of the things that was really frustrating to me about this episode is how, for a lot of reasons, especially in England, that stereotype exists because the king was literally like, I want to have these like Jewish financiers come to lend me money. And so it's like the king decided that this is how it should be.
Yeah.
And then later the king took all of that away. And so I don't know. It's England is obviously not the only place that where Jewish people were working in London, but they're like, it was particularly concentrated specifically because of like the king's actions and the king's policies and what the king wanted for multiple right. kings in a row.
Right. It's such a unique, I mean, listen, horrific. So please don't think I'm complimenting him in what I'm about to say. But it is such a unique and well-strategized way to get someone who has what you don't have to give it to you without giving them any power.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Like, oh, yes, you will lend me money, but you have no power over me because of it. Yeah. I'm the king.
Yeah.
Which is astonishing, right? Most yeah. of the time, in most of our day-to-day normal lives, if someone lent us a large sum of money, we would feel that they had a measure of power over us, right? Because if we didn't repay it properly or any other thing, like, they could potentially, you know,
yeah,
wreak havoc in our lives. But he figured out this loophole that he could set up.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I also originally had some stuff in the outline about how like attitudes toward charging interest started shifting more in like the 13th and 14th century. There are still various religious communities and denominations that find all interest to be sinful. So like that still exists. There's still like folks that have to work out other ways to exist in a society with money without violating their religious principles over it. But like there became a wider sense of the fact that loaning somebody money is a risk and interest helps defer that risk.
Right.
Because if one person defaults on their loan, maybe other people's interest means you don't wind up as the lender going bankrupt, if that
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah.
So there became a more permissive attitude, but there still obviously today is discussion about like what rates of interest are exploitive. When is it okay to charge interest and when is it not? Very recently, there was legislation introduced in Congress, and I don't remember the status of it, but like it was to set a cap on interest rates for consumers, with the idea being that interest rates that are too high are exploitive.
Right.
I took all of that out because I was like, it felt like an aside.
Yeah.
So I'm saying it now instead. I find that statue to be really beautiful.
Yeah.
I
got choked up trying to talk about it. So ditto. Ditto.
I've seen a couple of criticisms about whether aspects of it are historically really accurate. Like that her
How would
hair-
we know?
Well, some of that. Okay. So we don't have historically accurate, verifiable depictions of what Jewish people living in England wore, right?
Right.
Like the only visual depictions that we have of Jewish people living in England are like, there are some that are like anti-Semitic cartoons, that kind of thing. So like there's a lot of that we don't know, but we sort of think similar dress to what Christians in England were wearing. It does seem like adult Jewish women, especially married women and widows, were expected to have all of their hair covered, and her hair is not fully covered. So
gotcha.
There are people who are like, should her hair have been fully covered? And then also a share in the statue is carrying a dreidel, and apparently the dreidel was a little bit later development in more Germany. So it's like, would there have been...
Right.
And so to me, I cannot speak at all for like how a Jewish person would feel about this. Like for me, as a person that talks about history all the time, I feel almost like that is something that makes it recognizable to a total layperson who right. doesn't know the story of this, like what they're looking at.
Yeah.
And that might have been the reason for including that.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in exactly. to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right. which is different than empathy, yeah. right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already yeah. see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just had the weirdest thought unrelated to the statue.
Okay.
This is the germination of an idea, so if I sound like a ding-dong, apologies. One of the things that I would say, definitely the case in my family, and I think the case in a lot of families, is that the idea of talking about money at all is anathema.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And I mean, I still, to this day, as a fully grown adult with, like, a house and stuff, like, I will literally pick up the entire tab at a big group meal because the thought of talking about how it gets split up is so upsetting to me. I can't even deal with it. I'm buying my mental health by just paying for everybody. But I also wonder if some of that isn't ingrained in this idea of, like, those people who are the money people are yucky and dirty. We don't even talk about it.
Oh, maybe.
And if that's like a thing that has just through generation after generation without us realizing it, been an ingrained part of this bigger problem.
Yeah. I can tell you with certainty that when it comes to how much people are paid at work, the taboo of talking about how much you pay at work is like 100% about trying to make sure that people don't.
Oh, yeah.
Don't come together collectively to bargain for better pay.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, like within families and stuff.
Yeah, it's more like social stuff. That's a good question.
And it could just be that, you know, I'm sure that would not be the only thing. There are other issues that come into play there of like humility and shame and just like not trying to impose that kind of thinking on a kid early on, but then later on they're like, what is money, how does it do? But it just, like I said, the germination of a thought where I was like, oh, is this multi-generational, that like it's a way to separate people?
I feel like there's a big contradiction there, because there's the idea of like, we don't talk about money because it's kind of shameful to do that, but also there is a very wrong perception that people with money are better and poor people are not, right?
Right. That's why I kind of mentioned that shame is probably part of that that non-conversation. That
I'm sure somebody has written entire books about this thing that you and I are just like off the cuff talking about.
So surely. Greater minds than I.
Please do not take this as like Tracy and Holly's authoritatively comprehensive look at the psychology of money. We're not saying that at all.
My entree stated clearly that I probably sounded like a ding dong. But it does make me think about all of those social and cultural mores about how cultures deal with money, think about money.
Yeah.
There was a, I am literally reaching into the back of my broken brain.
All right.
I think it was an NPR story that I was listening to that was comparing the way different cultures prepare for their future, like for retirement and stuff, and how they were linking it to language as like the way people think, and how in some languages, like that don't, for example, have like a past or future tense, people are better at preparing for the future because it's all the one thing. Your life is one big thing, and not, oh, I'll think about my retirement later, but right now I'm having fun.
I think I might have heard that. Was this recent?
No, it was like at least 4 years ago.
Okay. I heard something very recently on the radio as I was out and about. That was very similar.
Same people doing research that's ongoing.
Yeah, but I didn't totally pay attention to it because in my head I was like, is this Nudge? And I started thinking about the podcast If Books Could Kill.
Uh-huh.
That just talked about like the Nudge book, and I got mentally very distracted. and I don't remember the rest of what it was. So anyway. I'm glad we finally did this episode. Glad it turned out that there was enough information. Man, I feel very ignorant about how this whole aspect of medieval history I was absolutely unaware of. And I think we're probably going to take a little sponsor break right here and then talk about a different episode.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunscreen. Mm-hmm. Please wear sunscreen. I hate it, and I do it anyway. I don't love it, but I do it. Yeah. So, like, let's say I'm going to go hiking, and I'm going to be outside for multiple hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. And I will stop on my hike, and I will reapply it on my hike. But the thing that I just irrationally hate is I'm going to walk to the store, and I'm going to be in the sun for a total of an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And like the fact that I got to stop and put the sunscreen on, you know, is if the weather is cool enough, I have plenty of other options for protecting my skin. Like I have lots of sunscreen clothing and all of this other stuff. But like if it's 100, I'm probably staying there. If it's 85 degrees, then I'm going to walk to the grocery store and I'm going to be gone like an hour. The step of putting on the sunscreen on my arms and legs, I just irrationally hate it.
No, I understand. It's a pain in the neck.
It's one of many things I also find it a pain to put on shoes and
not me. Give me all the shoes. I mentioned at the top of the episode that I had gotten into a conversation with my neighbor because I was out mowing and he was kind of chuckling at me because I look like a lunatic when I mow and I know it and I don't care because I have on a wide brim hat. I usually have on full length leggings, no ankle shows at all. Mm-hmm. I'm very Victorian, except I'm not. And, you know, I'll have a t-shirt on. I often wear like a little, I have a dozens of wacky print little like chiffon robes that I wear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put on lycra sleeves on my arms and none of this stuff matches. So I do look like an absolute nutter as I'm
out love
there
it
pushing it around. But here's it the thing, right? One, skin cancer in my family, a very real deal.
Yes.
Two, I have a lot of tattoos. I got to protect that business.
Yeah.
Like, why would I sit through the pain of a tattoo and then not do everything in my power to preserve it as long as possible?
I also have very fair skin and a family history of various skin cancers. When the weather is a little cooler, I have a bunch. I have been building a collection of, like, is it UPF, the protection rating for fabrics?
Yeah.
Just an assortment of clothing for that purpose. And I always have on a hat, and especially if I'm going to be outside in bright sun for a long time, a very wide brim hat, which I recently also got a mosquito net to go over because the bugs have been so bad.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm also a big fan of a parasol.
Yeah, I have a couple parasols. I haven't made use of them as recently just because I haven't. It's one of my favorite things to bring with me if I'm going to like the Renaissance Festival, some kind of outdoor event that I'm going to be out walking around.
I have a picture of the two of us at a rooftop event where it became apparent that I had many parasols at work because you were visiting the office and we both have my parasols. And
nice.
I'm like, I know I did not bring those specifically for that day. I think I just had parasols at my desk in case of sun.
Yeah. Was this maybe on the roof of like Ponce City Market?
Yeah.
Back when we were there? Yeah.
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 My other favorite thing that has the invention, which I didn't mention here because I don't know when it started, is makeup foundation with SPF.
Yeah. I have an assortment of like facial sunscreens. Facial tinted moisturizers with SPF.
Yes.
Other facial products with SPF. I have a lot of that.
This is also very tricky because if you are a very fair person and you need sunscreen on your face, that often also, and I have no scientific stuff at hand to back this up, but in my experiential knowledge, those tend to also be the same people who are very sensitive to a variety of products on their skin.
For sure. Yeah.
So it's like finding the right one can be a little bit tricky. And then once you do, you're married to it.
There are also various like more cosmetically oriented products that have an SPF rating on them. But the amount that a person typically puts on their face is not enough to actually be protected. And that, like, that's an issue with other sunscreen also. Like, I have heard a guideline. I'm not going to repeat the exact guideline because I'm afraid I'm going to say it wrong and I will have given people wrong advice about something important. But, like, I've heard a bunch of coverage about the amount of sunscreen that people put on their bodies is often, like, not actually enough. Like, you need more on there than you think you do.
Yeah, that is why that one thing that we mentioned during the episode that, like, a lot of people are, like, they're only getting half the benefit of any given SPF because nobody wants to put on a layer thick enough to actually do the work.
This has reminded me of when we were in Italy. And I think we were in like Cinque Terre and we were standing in the street, just sort of recongregating. And I was re-sunblocking myself. And for whatever reason, everyone kind of turned around as I had this like thick, not rubbed in layer of white sunscreen on my face. And I was just like, give me a sec. I'm working on it.
I'm doing it. I will tell you my favorite sunscreen.
Okay.
They don't sponsor the show. I have no ties to them other than it makes me smile. The name is gross. It's called Unicorn Snot. Okay. And it's a sunscreen that comes in 30 SPF and it has biodegradable glitter in it.
Fun.
So if I'm going to Disney World, you better believe I'm slathered in that stuff.
It's that sounds like a great sunscreen to have on.
Very favorite.
Yeah.
The other thing that I wanted to mention, and I found it in one paper, which is a paper that's often cited by a lot of other people, and it's very well researched, at least appears to be, mentioned an apocryphal story as kind of an aside in the segment where they were talking about Red Vet Pet and the top secret project during World War II, which is that the author of that paper, Frederick Urbach, mentioned that he had a relative who had been in World War I who claimed, that's not secret, we were using it in World War I.
Mm.
I think the government just got the idea that they would do a project around it. But that is all apocryphal. We don't really know the scoop there. The other thing we promised we would talk about was that whole thing about SPF and time versus exposure.
Yeah.
Because initially, right, and I think most places you will see it repeated this way, is that SPF means, like, if you have SPF 15, that means you could be in the sun 15 times longer than you could without it before you become burned. And that has given people these crazy ideas of, like, well, great, I'll stay out in the sun for 15 hours. and I think that is why now, like, the Skin Cancer Foundation and other other medical organizations are like, let's not talk about it that way.
Yeah. Like,
let's remind people that you need to be applying more often than every 15 hours or whatever. And that is that thing where it gives people a false sense of security. I'm like, oh, I put on like SPF 30. It's like a sweater came out. I'm fine. I don't have to reapply during the day. Yes, you do.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I remember my grandparents took my brother and me swimming at a lake in a park. And my mom had put sunscreen on my brother and me before we went. My grandparents didn't know and did not reapply any sunscreen on my brother and me. And I remember my back specifically, like the part of my back that was not covered by my little child swimsuit, got sunburned. And my mom was livid. She was like, they did not know about needing to put it on again.
Yeah, I mean, I have had some doozy sunburns in my time. One that was just terrible when I went and I had to get like burn lotion.
Oh,
like,
no.
Like the doctor gave me like the same kind of cream that they would give to burn victims. It was quite bad. But,
my goodness. I've never had a sunburn that bad. I got a sunburn one time. I was in a drum and bugle corps when I was in high school, and there was often just a push to be rehearsing, and like they cut our water break short.
Yeah.
And I hadn't been able to get somebody else to like sunblock the part of my back that I couldn't reach.
Yeah.
Because we practiced in shorts and sports bras.
Of course,
it was incredibly hot. And I'm going back to my spot on the field, putting the sun block where I could reach, and I wound up, you know, with that zone that I couldn't actually reach, sunburned enough to be really uncomfortable. There was also a lot of medications can affect your susceptibility to the sun.
Oh yeah.
So at one point in my life when I was on Prozac, I got sunburned walking from my car to like watch a commencement address. And yeah. I like walked to my car and I sat under a tree and I put sunscreen on while I was sitting under the tree. And like the walk from the car to the tree, which was astoundingly short. I got like sunburned in that little window.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's astonishing how quickly it can happen. Even if you're not on medications, there, you know, like, especially because it's getting hotter all the time.
Yeah.
And I know we said like heat isn't the thing, but there is more and more exposure. You're getting more and more UV than we used to. And I forget, I had a similar thing recently where I had like, I'm trying to remember if it was when I was in London, which I was in April of this year. And I literally, we were staying near the Excel Center where Star Wars Celebration was happening. We were in a hotel much closer than most people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like dragging your feet, like a 5-minute walk down to shade. Mm-hmm. And I was wearing like a little V-neck dress. And when I was eating a few hours later, someone was like, when did you get sunburn? And it was like on my chest from the I hadn't applied sunscreen for that quick walk, thinking I'm just running down to the convention center. I don't want to be glorped up all day.
Yeah.
Sunburn. Mild, very mild, but it still happened.
Yeah. I've gotten in the habit of checking the UV index, although there have definitely been some times when I have looked at the weather report and what it has told me the UV index was. I've walked outside and I'm like, that cannot be correct. It is much brighter out here than this app seems to think. But after a similar situation where it was something like 8 or 9 in the morning, and I got not bad, I got a little pink, which I did not want. On the walk from my apartment to the train station. And after that, I got in the habit of like, even if I'm going out for a couple minutes really fast and similarly, like don't then want to have stuff on me all day long. Like I'm always looking at the UV index before I go outside.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm just, my plan of action is basically to continue to be crazy Victorian witch covered head to toe as much as possible.
I have a whole thing that contains an assortment of sunscreens and insect repellents. And it, like, that comes anytime there's like a group outdoor activity, like that whole thing comes with me. So it's for me and everyone.
Yes. I also am a big fan of the spray-on sunscreens, but they often don't smell great to me.
Mm-mm.
It's very tricky, but it's worth it. You got to find the one that works for you because we want all of you to be safe. Mm-hmm. So if you are going out in the sun this weekend, please, 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 please wear your sunscreen. If you are not going out in the sun, but you have time off, we still hope you have a great time. If you don't have time off, I'm sorry. I hope you get time off sometime and that you still have a great time. And if you're working outside, you know already, but wear your sunscreen. I sound like a mom. we will be right back here tomorrow with a Saturday classic and then on Monday with a new episode. And we'll both be wearing sunscreen the whole time.
Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.